KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5.
That's what we call ourselves, sort of like a team.
A Gao Media Station.
One, two, three,
live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
JB, Trap J, and Quick Nick till 4. I get a kick out of that promo, Nick, because it's all about, like, you know, our team until it gets to another show, and then it's just like blast away and remember we're the best on the station. We don't treat it that way.
Who's the best on the station? We are.
I think so.
Of course.
But I also love, for the most part, everybody else on the other teams, too. Raheel just came in today to check in on us.
Yeah.
My man Salisbury, Granato.
But in the words of Dr. Dre, we don't love him.
I don't know about that. All right, so we got some guys that want to chime in on a little hoop talk, which I love. Nick, you pick.
Let's roll with the Rockets talk. Doc,
what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing today?
What's up, Doc?
Good, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. I got to tell you guys, man, I was listening to you, and Travis, I'm a little disappointed because I know we all around the same age a little bit there. I might be a little older than you guys.
I don't know. You sound like you got a lot of rasp in your voice over there. Like you got a lot of age in that thing.
Doc, he's saying so you got a little rock in that chair. That's all he's saying.
What I'm trying to say is this. When you're comparing the four top teams in the league, and the Cavaliers is one of the top teams, well, you guys are forgetting, and the Cavaliers are able to do this too. They're able to get easy buckets. When you're able to throw the ball in the post and get an easy bucket, you know, every now and then, that helps, you know, the flow of the game that
Doc,
you're having.
Doc, I know Now, wait, Doc, before you finish. You got a flip phone, but if you're fully capable of going on the internet, which is this, like, streaming thing that gives you information, we got podcasts where I have said for the last probably 3 months, Nick, that what the Rockets really need to do is focus on the fact that there's going to be nights when you don't make your threes, and also, regardless, that you have to get points in the paint, which means attack the basket. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to go all on the low block, but you got to get in the paint and got to get baskets. So I'm with you on that 150%.
Well, see, and this is where I go with that because I'm a coach, too, and a guy that played the point guard position. Harden is not a point guard, and I've been saying this for the longest, and I got to think that Popovich is trying to wait and pull it out during the playoffs. Why isn't somebody playing Harden the length of the floor, make him use about 8 to 10 seconds, having to actually put pressure on him to bring the ball down the floor and get them in their offense real, real late? Make the shot be a bad shot, and then once you get a bad shot, and I would do it with Golden State as well.
Doc, now, let's just go in segments. Now, here's the thing. I can answer that, and I can also tell you that this is one of the main reasons why, and I keep saying that I'm not going to tell you how far this team goes in the playoffs, because I said, enjoy the regular season, but come playoff time, teams like Popovich and the Spurs, teams like the Cavs and the Warriors, they're not tipping their hand in the regular season anymore. They're just going to get through the grind. But come playoff time, I keep telling people, in a 7-game series, when you can take things away because like New England is going to do this week with the Texans, perfect example. They're going to go and take away at least one of your best players or best options, right? So from a 7-game series basketball perspective, what they're going to do is they're going to contest everything on the perimeter, and they're going to do exactly what you said. They are going to pressure the ball. They are going to make Harden work on both ends. And if it comes down to critical situations, they're going to take it out of his hands completely. And if they have to double him, they're going to say, I'm going to make someone else beat me. Who's it going to be? Now, if Gordon is healthy, he helps them immensely. But you probably have to have better options than that, because when you're looking at Golden State, San Antonio, teams that are versatile and athletic, they have a couple guys that at least can defend. It'll be real. That's why I keep saying, enjoy it for what it is now, but it's going to be totally different come postseason.
And I agree. And the one other thing I want to say, too, is if it's San Antonio that plays Cleveland in the finals, I think San Antonio is going to beat them because of Kawhi Leonard. He's not afraid of LeBron. I really think, like Durant and other guys, they're afraid of LeBron. And then they're not going to make LeBron work on the defensive end. So I think that plays a factor too. Not only being able to throw the ball in the low post, being able to defend a LeBron James. Now Kyrie is a little different story. He's still going to have to play a Parker. He's going to have to play a Mills and things like that. But I think what happens when people play Cleveland, they are afraid of Cleveland. Well, I don't even listen, guys. Thank you,
Doc. Appreciate a great call. And here's the thing, Trap. On that note, San Antonio to me doesn't have enough bullets in the chamber.
How about you know? They like it, Barney Fife. They ain't got enough bullets in that gun.
Like if you could go with another Kawhi, you know, or you could go with, look, for the reason why Golden State is Golden State is they got a lockdown defender in Draymond Green that can guard three different positions.
Yes.
Okay? Then they've got versatility. Durant might not be the strongest guy in the world or the biggest guy in the world, but with his reach and how quick he can be at his size, he gives you versatility. So they have more versatility there. Now, Klay Thompson is just a really good on-ball defender.
Yes.
Okay? Curry, average at best, right? But Pachulia understands his role. That's one of the things I think the Rockets have been saying, too, has been missing, is a guy that's strong enough and big enough and a good enough low-post defender to put a body on somebody. And if you need to go down to the post every now and then to keep teams honest, he can make a few moves and get a shot off.
Yes.
The Rockets don't have that yet.
No.
Now, with Capella, they got a good paint defender, but not a post defender.
No.
So it's going to be interesting to see. That's why I don't say that to San Antonio, but I'll say teams in the mix that could do that. When the Clippers are healthy, again, they bring over a Spates. They strengthen their bench. They've got versatility because Blake is athletic as hell at the four, right? Jordan, freakishly athletic to get boards and defend in the post. And Paul is this mad scientist. He's a genius with the ball in his hands. JJ, spot-up shooter. They got a lot of weapons and versatility. You need versatility. It's not a big man's game anymore. Absolutely. But
it can be if you got the right big man.
There you go. And it also can be decided in the paint, whether it's on the
post.
If
you got the right guy.
Or you don't have the right rim protection. Exactly. So it's going to be interesting. Look, the reason why Doc says San Antonio that I can see they can do some things, they can go double post in the postseason. They can go Aldridge and they can go Gasol. High-low, both posts. Who the Rockets going to use to defend both those guys? They might have one to put on one. We all know what Aldridge did with some pretty damn good defense on him when he was with Portland. So you got to be aware of that. But I just don't know if they got enough guns in the chamber. Now, don't put it past San Antonio to try and make a move or two as well. But I think what the overriding factor that we've been talking about, and I think Doc understands this too, those teams are not overly concerned with the regular season. They're concerned with the postseason health, and also between now and the start of the postseason, how can we give us a little extra help where we need it or maybe short. So that's what it'll be interesting to see. But again, take nothing away from the Rockets and enjoy the hell out of the ride because it is fun right now and they are fun to watch. With that being said, Daniel, you want to get in here next. You want to talk about a guy that we mentioned, Ja Ja Pachulia. What's up?
Hey, man, just to love the show, guys, by the way. And also, I graduated from Florida State, so I've been loving Florida State.
Go Noles!
Oh, no, I was there when James got a championship.
So. Okay, man, you see we see one of our movies won a Golden Globe, too, man.
Exactly, man, I love it, man, I love it. But quick, about Ja Ja Pachulia,
yep.
You were saying, he doesn't have monster numbers, correct, but he's trash. The reason he's in the All-Star games because he's from Georgia, not Atlanta, Georgia, but the country, Georgia, so his whole country voted for him. That's why he's even up there, so that's why they changed the ballot relations where 50% is from the players and 50% is from the fans. That's because they don't want the Ja Ja Pachulia to be in the All-Star game.
Now, you're right. And the other thing is, too, that's why they don't have the center as a position anymore. You can play three front court players. Right. But at the same time, right, don't call him trash now because, again, one of the things that I'm saying is there's a real delicate balance from the locker room to the court in terms of having the right role players. Here's a guy that gives you what Bogut gave you, but he's not outspoken like Bogut is. He's not going to do the stupid thing by taking the cheap shot at a guy and maybe being suspended for a game or two. He's just going to do the dirty work and understands, hey, I have nothing to do with the offense unless I can get offensive rebounds every now and then. But what I need to do is I need to put my ass in the paint. I need to guard on one end, and I need to rebound on both ends. And if I do that, I know the other four guys can drive that bus.
Right. You're right, man. Let us show, guys. Keep it up, man.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For the call, man.
Jaguars just offered Doug Marrone the job.
There you go. And you know what? We talked about it. And I said, look, he's coaching for his future. No one gave him a chance to get it. But he must have done something right with the culture over the last couple weeks. What are your thoughts?
No, I don't think it has anything. I think it just was the fact that they figured they wasn't going to get too many other guys that wanted that job. They wasn't going to get too many guys that wanted that job. You got a booger.
I mean, seriously, you couldn't have just said bear in the cave? You couldn't have used what's referred to as a cough button?
Oh, my bad. I did like this, and you were like, I'm like.
I don't know if you're doing some hand signal for something else. You know you got a whole different language.
He's just a booger.
Well, Adrian, come on. Hey, Adrian, let's talk Rockets. Come back. Don't leave. Travis just gave us breaking news.
But, you know, I think when you look at Doug Marrone's history when he's with the Bills, I think he was fortunate that he got out of there because of the way his contract was set up. He was still going to get paid regardless. If there was an ownership change, he automatically got to void the rest of his contract and still get the money. I think that, to me, was a red flag of what type of dude he was. I think the team kind of looked like, man, how are you just going to leave us like that? But I think he was a good enough coach there, and I think they're excited to at least have somebody who's already in the building. It's just going to be interesting what he does with the staff, because it's hard to give a guy, the interim guy, a job, and he's worked with all the guys that are in the building already.
That's what I'm saying. There had to be a hell of a chemistry change, culture change, and some there has to be some respect there, because it was obvious when Gus Bradley flew back with the team, there were some guys that weren't feeling that there was no love lost in seeing him headed out.
But I think Gus Bradley's probably a hard-nosed dude, but the issue is who's he going to keep? You've been working with these guys all year. If you fire all these guys or you don't like what these it can create a lot of rift in the business for you. So, I mean,
someone's going to get a hell of a D coordinator if they get Gus Bradley.
Oh, no question.
Without a doubt.
No question.
So, it'll be interesting to see. All right.
Don't be surprised if you don't end up right back in Seattle
that too, yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. Look, we've been talking Rockets. Adrian, you thought we were going to switch gears because Trav gave us breaking news. But come on back, Adrian. We'll talk Rockets with you. You want to talk about your favorite team and the fact that they're playing good basketball? We can do that. Talk NBA. Talk NFL. Talk national championship. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. We can talk about the Golden Globes, but Travis is very, very upset that he could have gone and didn't. And by the way, we have a Did You Know? Trav's kinfolk all up in the Golden Globes and won one.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that after the break. ESPN 97.5.
Here at Alabama, Clemson. College football's national championship game. 7 p.m. Monday on ESPN 97.5 and our sister station, SB Nation 1560. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Good to have my dog in the house, Nick. Good to have Trap J back in.
Oh, man, happy to be here, man. I think I should cook for my wife tonight.
I don't know that needed to. See, this is the kind of stuff that's part of the always on your toes that you have to be with Travis Johnson, because he can change gears in a moment's notice.
What are you planning on cooking?
I don't know, man. I just said I might. I don't know.
No, you didn't say might.
I think I should.
You think you should?
Well, if you heard you, you've committed.
Just because. I mean, I feel like cooking tonight.
Okay. What would be on the menu?
I don't know, man. Maybe some short ribs, some rice. I don't know.
Doesn't the ribs take a long time?
No, not the short ribs are thin.
I understand that, but you still have to, like, you know, marinate them.
Oh, I always keep them. I keep meat seasoned every week, man.
I bet you do, big dog.
If it ain't cooked by Friday, you keep your
meat seasoned and ready. Yes. So we were talking about broadcasters throughout the game too. This just in: NBC drew 26.9 million viewers for the Lions Seahawks NFC wildcard game. That's down from 31.2, who watched Steelers-Bengals on CBS same window last year. They did say Texans-Raiders wild card game drew 25.3 mil up from last year's 25.2 that watched the Chiefs annihilate the Texans. Overnight, Seahawks-Lions on NBC, 16.5 mil, down from 19.2 over the equivalent Saturday wild card game of a year ago on CBS. Raiders-Texans on ABC, 16.6, up from that 16.2 a year ago. So there's some early TV ratings.
I mean, do you think, obviously, if Derek would have played in that game, I think that would have been probably the most watched game of the playoff games.
I don't think so. I think last night's game, regardless, because I think people thought that for a lot of reasons it was going to be the most competitive.
Well,
now I will say you're right. I'm just saying
Derek Carr probably would have been the most watched. Obviously, it wasn't the nighttime game, but I think it'd have been most watched for the simple fact is the Raiders hadn't got past the second round of playoffs in 14 years. Right. I think in fans alone.
Talking about fans versus ratings. I think for a football fan, that factors in. I think from like your average fan, I think they're going to, first of all, the New York market itself is going to carry everything.
But the California market itself also does the same. You got to remember the Raiders got, not only do the Raiders have Los Angeles, but they have.
Not that I'm agreeing 100%, but I see it.
Yeah, and then you got the Raiders versus Houston.
The return of the Raiders would be a big story. But I still think that the Giants, whatever they do, and the number one media market in the country is going to carry a ton. Plus primetime, late afternoon, Sunday when nothing else is going on, which is Saturday morning, Saturday night. People got they're out of the house.
Yeah, it was stuff that had to go on. But I think when you look at the Raiders, when you bring up media market, the Raiders also have Los Angeles, which technically, even though the Rams are there, that's still their media market. Half the people in Los Angeles are Raider fans. You know what I mean? Half the people in Los Angeles.
They've been there before.
So
maybe they're again.
I think them combined with Houston, I think would have been a great rating game if Derek would have played.
But I think that the ratings game was the game last night because of the fact that no one was even watching the Rockets game because they wanted to see the pride, the glory, the Packers story. So the Packers are on to the next round. They're heading up north to take on the Cowboys. This just in. Not so fast if you were Cowboys fans thanking your lucky stars. Jordy Nelson won't be in the lineup. Mike McCarthy in his press conference today said Jordy is still a possibility for Sunday to thwart the early reports of Barry Warner and others. But he did spend the night in the hospital last night. Look, let's be honest. Based on how that hit was, where he got it, and it looked like what the damage could be, that's a pretty serious shot. So, you know, I think they'll be really lucky, and I don't agree. But they'll be really lucky to have 87 on the field, not just next week, but if they would be lucky enough to advance, I think they'd be lucky if they had him at all for the rest of the season. But we'll see. Look, the other guys stepped up and did their part. Cobb and Adams combined for 13 catches and 241 yards between the two of them. So he's got some other resources, let's put it that way. But we all know that, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best, and the Cowboys are the best. They're sitting in Dallas waiting for a team, and they got everything out in front of them. And the last thing Houston fans want is to see the Cowboys trying to win a Super Bowl in their backyard. Agreed.
Oh, no question. I think right now it's Super Bowl or bust for these Cowboys.
Already? They're such a young team, though. You're going to have Zeke and Dak for a long time.
You can have them for a long time, but I think this is the year where you say they're rolling because every year that offensive line gets older, every year somebody potentially gets hurt. Every year. So, in my opinion, this right now, is they got to strike while the iron's hot. They're one of the, outside of the Packers winning seven straight games, they probably are arguably the hottest team in the NFL right now. And if you come out of this with nothing – if you come out of this with not even a NFC championship game, I could only imagine how much that demoralizes this franchise. You got to remember, Dan Marino went to the big dance as a rookie and never saw it again.
Yeah. Look, the Packers were 15-1 in the regular season and lost to Eli at home and the Giants.
Yeah.
Giants went to the Super Bowl. Again, it's like Golden State. Regular season don't mean a thing if you don't get that ring.
Exactly. I mean, or if you don't have that swing, doo-wop. Yeah, but
I put it together my own way.
Yeah, I know. That's why I like it.
Show you some creative freedom.
That's why I like it.
But the concerns are out there for Jordy Nelson, but the fact of the matter is you got a guy that's on fire who's not turning it over and he's throwing it around the ball yard. But the thing is, look, to your point, injuries can happen, and it's amazing Green Bay's even sniffing the second round because of the fact that their secondary is so depleted. It should have been exposed over and over and over again already.
Well, they had pass rush. The pass rush is starting. It's starting to open back up. When you got Peppers, it's playing like he's young. You got finally you got Little Clay.
Yep.
That is starting to get healthy for the most part and make a lot of plays. You got guys like LaTroy Guillen who has continued to be a steady presence in the middle of that Packers defensive line.
Don't forget Mike Daniels now.
Mike Daniels is playing great. Really Mike Daniels is playing great ball. I mean, you got a great nucleus of guys, and the defense is starting to play better. I mean, people have been talking about Dom Capers all season with this defense, but they haven't realized not only is their secondary depleted, but they hadn't paid for any
DBs. They never
DBs.
Do. I told you that. I've told you that all year. Ted Thompson just doesn't believe in it.
And at some point, you got to buy. You get what you pay for. You know,
see Peanut Tillman's tweet?
No, what did he? What did
he tweeted to Aaron Rodgers the little poop emoji, but he used using it the other way, yeah. Saying, "I need a ring. Y'all need a D back. Just let me know and pick up the phone, and I'm ready to go."
Yeah.
And of course, they dispelled it right away. Go, nah, next man up. We got a guy ready. Come on, man. If Peanut Tillman's in anywhere near decent shape,
I believe he probably is.
And dude can play.
Yeah, and I think he's a guy who it's not going to cost you anything to bring him in.
Right. And you know what?
It's going to cost you a couple weeks.
He's not able to endure a full season, but I guarantee you, in small doses, like the playoffs, he'd be as good as what you got sitting there waiting.
Good as what you got. He's a guy who's played in all different types of defenses. He's played in the 4-3s. He's played in the 3-4. He'll go there. He'll know the defense, pick up the defense, because the language is all the same when it comes to those style of defenses. And
look, coordinators love bringing in a veteran, experienced, former All-Pro guy, because you know you can trust him.
I think Dom would love to have him.
And losing Cromartie, that's what was a big blow for the Giants because of that very reason.
No question.
AC, you want to get in here real quick? Packers Cowboys, what's up, man?
Yeah, man, y'all made a reference saying that, you know, if Carr would have played, that would have been the most watched game during the playoffs.
I said that.
I really think this the Packers versus the Cowboys is going to be the most watched due to the fact that
I was just speaking on last week. I wasn't speaking on the entire playoffs. I was speaking on last week.
Okay. But, I still think that's going to be the most watched due to the fact that, you know, the big Dez Bryant non-catch and, 2 years ago.
I mean, I didn't think anybody still even remembered that.
I was there.
Was that?
I didn't think anybody still even remembered the non-catch. I mean, that's a moot point now. I mean, it's...
Well, the bottom line is, too, that I like to tell people about the Dez no catch is, I thought he caught it, and even if he did, Aaron Rodgers had 3 timeouts, 3.5 minutes, and he only needed a field goal, so it's not like the game was decided on that catch.
Yeah, no, in my opinion, I mean, the game, it's football. I mean, if that's the case, now, you can still make the claim that there would never been a dynasty in
New
England.
To AC's point, though, the matchups, from a ratings perspective, not great this weekend. Because anybody outside of Houston expects New England to roll over the Texans. Kansas City and Pittsburgh just ain't sexy, although it's going to be a hell of a football game, right?
Yeah.
And then you look at the Seattle-Atlanta game. Atlanta just isn't sexy. I'm sorry. And Seattle's not... what they used to be.
See, I don't even got no cakewalk. Are you talking about as far as ratings?
Yeah, I'm just talking about ratings.
Oh, yeah,
that's why
you
can roll in the history of the Packers, Cowboys. You can roll all that stuff in. So good point, AC. I appreciate the call. Look, the ratings are going to be what they are. It should be some good football. I think that Kansas City-Pittsburgh game shapes up to be one hell of a football game because everybody is expecting Kansas City to win. Look, a lot of people said Pittsburgh didn't impress them. They impressed me, man. When you got Antonio Brown getting the first two and Le'Veon Bell toting the rock like he did, you better be careful. As long as Ben's ankle injury isn't and foot injury isn't as bad.
I say he's just re-aggravated old injury.
He's wearing a ski boot right now, but when he gets ready to play, tell you what, I wouldn't mess with the Steelers either. My preseason prediction was Packers and Steelers in the Super Bowl, so that still has life. We'll see how that goes. Hey, we got about a half hour left in the show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have plenty more to talk about. Let us know what's on your mind. 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Trap, Joel, Nick, till 4. And you know, guys, sometimes we're real loyal to our loyal listeners. And sometimes callers are better than others. We got a guy that has no holds barred, including no holds on any of the words that he may use. So Nick's going to keep his finger on the button, and my man Troy's going to tell me about his weekend. He's going to jump in and join the show. Troy, what's up, my man?
What's going on, Joe?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how about them Texans?
Yeah, I told you, man. You just got to ride with who you got.
I know, and you know, as long as we're in the show, anything can happen. So I'm not, just go get Patriots next weekend. My question is what did you think about the play calling? And I'm not questioning it, but what did you think about the play calling? And is James Harden for real? Is he human?
Okay, so let's go one at a time. But from a play calling perspective, and Trap, obviously I want your opinion here. But I just like the fact that they weren't hyper-conservative. They were willing to sling it around the yard a little bit.
They had no choice.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is he made some throws that he normally was – that consistently throughout the year he wasn't making, and he wasn't staring down guys as much as he had done in the past.
Well, I not as much. I mean, I remember when he connected with DeAndre in that corner, he stared him down. I mean, but he just was – it just was a perfect throw. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that – the plays weren't conservative was, you know, quiet as it's kept. I mean, I don't know, they probably aren't talking about it, but I think he loses that game, he loses his job. You know what I mean? In Bill Belichick. You know what I mean? Bill O'Brien.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah, I think quiet as it's kept. I mean, my opinion, it just seemed real, you know, it was a lot of tight sphincters.
And do you say that because McNair would have made a decision, or do you say that because other people say he's just so fed up and frustrated that he's putting the dinner on the table, but he ain't getting to say so in the groceries?
I think McNair would have made a decision. I think wow. it was. I think. It, okay. I mean. I think they would have probably. They would have probably. Served,
that's not from Jay Glazer, ladies and gentlemen. That's from Trap Jay.
I think it would. I think he would have served it up to the. I think they would have served it up to say, "Hey, you know, we gonna part mutual ways." He wanted to leave. And I think, you know, the decision making questions are out there as far as he wants more control. But I mean, I don't see that wasn't me.
Okay, just keep talking.
I don't see Bob giving up all that control. I don't see Rick giving up that control. I don't see Cal. I think Cal's in a position where it's about to be. I mean, I'm not saying Mr. McNair is going to kick the bucket anytime soon, but I don't see Mr. McNair being there on a day-to-day basis, you know, too much longer. And I think it's in the transition of being, it's going to be Cal McNair's team. You know, it's going to be molded the way he wants to do it. And I don't think he's going to start by, let me start, you know, when my dad's giving me more, you know, more responsibility, let me start by giving the responsibility to somebody else. You know what I mean? I think he wants to run the show like he wants to run the show. I think he's going to – I think, to be honest, I think his Cal knows a lot about football. He knows a lot more than people give him credit for. I think so. I think he becomes that guy almost like Jerry Jones-esque, you know what I mean, where he's going to run the team like he wants to run the team and keep his most trusted people in involved.
And we know he trusts Rick.
And he trusts Rick. Yeah. And he knows regardless of his decision-making, Rick is his guy. He's Rick's guy. I mean, you know what I mean, and vice versa. And they're going to take care of each other. They're going to take care of their family's company.
Well, there you have it. And on the James Harden front, look, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. At the start of the year, I said some people need external motivation, but there was so much building up that would motivate Nick. You made mention of some of it earlier, where he's not 15 pounds overweight and didn't work out the entire offseason. He came in ready to play in a system that is tailor-made, perfectly fit for him, and he trusts the guys around him now. And it was a couple of delicate moves that people didn't put enough value on. But bringing in two reliable shooters and knowing that Ariza and Beverly can concentrate on defense and then just getting naked, wide open, spot up shots, you're going to be a better shooter. And the thing that people are saying, well, they're making shots. Yes, but the big thing is Harden's trusting them to give them the ball. There, you go back and look at three-quarters of the game film from last year. He would start out every game distributing the basketball just like he does now in the Mike D'Antoni offense. The big difference was if you missed one or two, now he's going to go back to, I got to do it myself. So I'm going to dribble the hell out of it. I'm going to do what I need to do, and you're just going to have to sit there and deal with the consequences, whether I turn it over, I make a shot, or someone gets an offensive rebound and a putback. But that's where it's going. It's not going around the horn, and we're not moving it to the open man, and I don't trust the guys around me. Now you're seeing they've put the right pieces, and I keep telling you how important it is to have those complementary pieces. They might not be a star, but they're the perfect fit for the system, the team, and the players, and that's what you're seeing. James Harden's definitely for real, and I don't think there's any question right now he's the leader in the clubhouse for MVP.
No question. I mean, what he's done – I think in the clubhouse, he's a leader for MVP. I think he's in a tight race. Him and Russell, I think, are in a very tight race. I think when you look at what he's done, I mean, for the most part, you say, has he gotten his teammates better? This year he has, you know, as far as with dishing the ball and, you know, the double digit assist almost every game. I think when you look at Russell, and you say, what has he done? You see the Oscar Robertson-esque numbers. I mean, so I think as far as MVP, I think you got to put him up there with it.
Those two guys. The thing you got to worry about, because people are saying, well, the Rockets are winning more games, and that was the criteria. We don't know what the criteria was when it was between Harden and Curry, and I still think Harden had a better year. But I think in this case, in this scenario, what you're seeing is, again, something that I made notice to Barry and other people that this was going to happen. Robin got to be Batman in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. He was going to get his. If he averages a triple-double for the season, it's going to propel him, and you can't factor that in right now. Yeah. But if he does something that the last person was Oscar Robertson to do.
He has to get the MVP.
I don't know that he has to get the MVP, but he'll get a lot of votes because of it and a lot of favoritism by the older school voters. But I will say, both guys could end up doing it. Harden's main thing is he's got people around him that he trusts. Westbrook obviously does not. The difference between the two teams with the conversation I've had with people on Twitter is Oklahoma City is a bunch of phenomenal role players and the deepest team in the league, but missing that variable of another go-to superstar is killing them.
Yeah.
Whereas the Rockets are a good team getting complementary pieces to step up and Eric Gordon to take it to another level just by being healthy. That makes them a better overall team.
Exactly.
That gives them some more credibility, too. So it's going to be interesting to see how it comes down and how the votes go. But again, that X factor you're not factoring in right now, if Westbrook finishes this season and he averages a triple-double, he's going to get a lot more love.
He's going to get the MVP. Yeah. If I mean, it's only been done. Oscar Robertson is the only person to do it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So I think Magic may have done it for a year or two. We'll have to check it back at those stats. But look, it's safe to say it's a very rare occurrence in this league. And these guys already are doing things that are rarities in some of the stats and games that they're putting up. So, Mikel, we see you. We'll get to you next as we continue to roll on with the show. We've got plenty more to go. We'll talk about coaching opportunities in the NFL, who may get them and who's interviewed where, as well as the one that's already been filled. Trav already filled you in a little earlier. This is ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So after round one of the playoffs, the New England Patriots went from 7-5 odds to win it all to 3-2. Dallas went from 7-2 to 9-2. Atlanta went from 10-1 to 6-1 because, get this, not having to face both the Cowboys and the Packers to make the Super Bowl supposedly gives them an easier route because, remember now, Matt Ryan threw for 335 against Seattle with Earl Thomas in a game that Seattle won 26-24, so they have confidence they can play with that team. Kansas City, 8-1 now, was 10-1. Pittsburgh remained 8-1. And the Packers went from 8-1 to 10-1. I think that probably factors in a little Jordy Nelson and other things, but we'll see how it all plays out. Before the break, Mikel was holding. He wants to talk about the Texans, so we welcome you to the show. What's up?
All right, how's it going?
Good, man. What's going on?
Nothing much. I want to first of all about the Texans. I mean, they had a win and all. They went up 20-7 at halftime, though, and I just feel that they got too conservative. They had one drive and kind of like three draw plays back. I mean, in a row, three draw plays. I feel with them being with the Oakland Raiders being handicapped like they were, which I feel the Texans would have won with Derek Carr playing anyway. But with them being handicapped like they were when they came out of halftime, I feel they should have just kept their foot on Oakland's neck. I mean, that should have been a statement game to me. I mean, go smash on them, make a statement. And at the same time, where's number 82 at the receiver? I mean, he don't even play anymore. Both times they threw the ball to him in the season, he made tremendous catches. I mean, where is he?
Talking about Anderson? Who are you talking about?
Anderson, right. That's his name. Not
tight
Anderson, not the tight end. Number 82. Number 82. I can't.
Miller's can't out for the year.
Not Miller, but it's a short number 82, a little small receiver. Savage threw him the ball when he first came in.
Oh, the kid that came off the practice squad that caught a deep ball.
Exactly.
I know who you're talking about.
Why they not playing him more? I mean, the things that he catches, they have to go to him. And they're not throwing the ball to Mumphrey. Why is he even not there? So that's my take. I want to get your take on that.
Appreciate it, Trav. Go ahead.
I mean, it was conservative. I think they really wanted to, they wanted to try to bleed the clock a little bit, so they stopped running some of the things that they ran. I think when you look at Oakland and with arguably the second best offensive line, they say if Oakland gets going and this running game gets going, if our defense, I think they really just want to say, let's put it on the defense to do their job.
Wendell Williams is the guy he's talking
about. While I'm over here searching. But I just think they just didn't want to screw it up. I mean, the fact that you were able to go out there and not turn the ball over, and they just decided, let's manage the game. We're up, let's manage the game. Because without Derek Carr, the only how they're going to score a lot of points is running the ball.
Well, let's face the facts. This is not about positioning yourself to win a division or the next five games or the outlook for this team down the stretch in a season. This is you just win against the opponent you're playing this week. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
You know you got a rookie third-string quarterback. Manage the game. Don't turn it over. Don't go completely beyond your means and try to do things you haven't been able to do all year. And let your defense keep you in it, and they should do enough to allow you to win it. And they did. Cook turned the ball over. You know, everybody thought Del Rio was going to make a change. Didn't make that change. Probably second-guessing himself now, but it doesn't matter. Just win the game. That's what they did. That's what they had to do.
I don't know if he's second-guessing himself. I think the fact that... and to be
honest, said he was talked out of it, by the way.
Yeah, he probably... When I talked to Del Rio before the game, he seemed like he was real confident in what they were going to do. You know what I mean? As far as, I mean, who was going to put McGloin in the game?
There was really nobody left.
I think the Raiders just hoped that they could come out and establish the run, and I think they got away from it too early as far as trying to run the ball. Because you look at Latavius Murray, he's one of the bigger running backs with great footwork. And I think I think they should have leaned on him a lot more. I think you should have made it a workhorse game for him and told him, like, listen, we're going to pound this ball. We're going to try to pound this ball and try to get, I mean, and I just think they went away from their game plan a little too early and it just became what it was. So okay. I think the Texans did a good job.
The thing is just they did what they needed to do. They were going to not think too far out of the box or try something. Because everybody wanted to see it and it could cost them.
Exactly. Because if Brock Osweiler goes out here and throws four interceptions.
Even two could cost them.
No question. I think the game was a lot closer than the score indicated.
I agree with that.
I mean, when Cook got that, I think it was the second or maybe the second turnover. It happened to be the second turnover late in the game when they were still, where they were driving and only down, yes, and only down 13 points or 14 points, I think it was. If they score then, there's still a quarter and a half of football left.
Yeah, no question. I think that was the fumble.
Yeah, the fumble. It's a quarter and a half of football left. So you gotta look at it as they were playing the clock game, because if you get within a score, now you're giving me the entire rest of the game to catch up.
By the way, this just in from Ian Rappaport, Nick's best friend. The Jaguars are not done. They are still hiring Tom Coughlin, but as an executive. As he interviewed as coach, but they're going to keep him as an executive and bring him back into the fold for the franchise. With that said, and because we're running short on time, of the available jobs, and there's now five jobs still available, here's what we got as we know. Bills, 49ers, Rams, Chargers, Broncos. Okay?
I'll interview Anthony Lynn.
Anthony Lynn has interviewed.
I think he has the shot to get the Bills
interim HC.
The Bills want him to stay, but I think the best job for him to take is the Denver job if they offer it.
Now the Denver job is the hot job for a lot of reasons. Vance Joseph, the Dolphins DC, on the top of a lot of teams' list, but he's already basically kind of let the message go in the under circle. Hey, if I get the gig, I'm not keeping Wade. And a lot of people think that Elway wants to keep Wade as the DC.
Yeah, probably because, well, you know, Wade is done. But Vance, you got to remember, Vance is also a
defensive. He's a DC now in Miami.
He's a defensive guy. So he wants his own defense in there. He wants to have the stamp of that defense. And I think, you know, in a lot of circles, you know, a lot of people might say, you know, Wade might not be in his circle.
Is it just me, though, Trap, or does Kyle Shanahan just seem like the perfect guy for Denver?
No, he's not, because, I mean, it is just you. But no.
So now you're a comedian. Two shows nightly. I'm working with a comedian all 5 days this week.
Now he's a comedian. Yeah. But no, I don't think he's the perfect guy for the job. I think.
You understand why I say it.
Yeah, because
Daddy's been there, Elway and Daddy, the whole works.
But you got to also remember the Bolin still owned the team.
Right.
And, I mean, he was fired at one point for a reason. I think it's still some bad blood at some point somewhere in there. I think they're mentioning Kyle Shanahan because that's what everybody wants to mention is Kyle Shanahan. And I think
Does he get a head job this year?
Probably. I mean, but I think actually, you know what? No, I don't think Kyle Shanahan gets a job this year.
Okay, that's interesting.
You know, Kyle Shanahan, I think the word around town is the egotistical type of person he is. I think if he does
age, his age.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, me and Kyle are around the same age, well, you know, as far as age wise, but it's a couple coaching candidates that are younger that actually it's one guy. I think I think he might be in Washington. That's 30. And his name is coming up. His name is coming up.
Sean McVay,
whose name is coming up the
interview for the Rams and the Niners. Already.
And I think when you look at a guy like Kyle, I think the reason why they might not go to Kyle. Yes, they Kyle and Coop run the same offense. I mean, Coop taught Kyle that offense, and it's his daddy's offense. You know, so I think that'd be the better transition as far as for the job. But I don't think. I don't think John will have patience to deal with Kyle for the simple fact is he's known Kyle since he was a baby.
Yeah.
And
so names of note, Mike Vrabel of the Texans, rumored to be interviewing with the Rams. I think that's a bit much for him.
That's not a good hire either. And okay. I don't think that's a good job for Vrabel.
And for the Texans this weekend, Josh McDaniels, Patriots offensive coordinator, Jaguars, Rams, Niners, he's already been with the Broncos, so that won't happen.
If McDaniels is smart, he'll stay right there.
And I think you're right, because he's one of those guys to me that seems like he's better as a coordinator than he is a head coach. Yes. And then the other one, on the other side of the ball, Matt Patricia, Patriots D coordinator, Rams and Chargers.
I think Patricia wants, he has to find the perfect situation. I think, because I don't know how much of a, you know, these coordinators haven't done well that's left the nest. I think a lot of them know that, and I think a lot of them are okay with being coordinators forever.
I think New England's like the Alabamas of the college world. New England's one of those teams where Belichick's willing to pay more to keep you at a coordinator just to make him
make his job better. a little bit easier.
Exactly.
I mean, but at the same time, you look at it as not all of y'all are going to be fortunate like Josh McDaniels to happen to come back when the coordinators just left to go, you know, go to Penn State. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. It worked out well for him to get his old job back, but it didn't work out well for Romeo Crennel or the rest of those guys.
There you go. Heard it from the expert, Travis Johnson. Good to have him back in the fold, back in the studio. Nick's been here. I've been here. Trapp's been here. And we're here every day, Monday through Friday. And we'll have Barry in here tomorrow. Trapp will be back on Friday from Trailer Wheel and Frame. We got a full week heading into the big football games. And don't forget, the national championship is tonight. The Blitz is next. We'll turn it over to Fred and AJ. This is ESPN 97.5.
Hear Alabama, Clemson, college football's national championship game, 7 p.m. Monday on ESPN 97.5 and our sister station, SB Nation 1560.